Amen. Amen. You know, 1 John 3 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. Goes on to say that the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now that we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Malcolm spoke about the amazing love that Christ has for us. And we serve an amazing God, don't we? Don't we? We serve an amazing God. Amazing that he would extend his grace towards us and lavish his love on us. He lavished his love upon you. Do you know that? He lavished his blessing upon you. He lavishes his gifts upon you. He lavishes his mercy upon you. He's a God of abundance. He's a God that's got good plans for you. Doesn't mean that life always goes easy, does it? Because the reality of life is that actually sometimes we go through difficulties and hard times. But you know, when we have God, we can have the grace and the strength to overcome things or go through things or face things that we thought were absolutely impossible, were too much for us to cope with. Yet with God's power and God's strength and God's grace, there's a resilience that he brings. And that's God's intention for you. He is an amazing, amazing God, isn't he? Please help me this morning. Yes. Today's Pentecost Sunday. And so we are going to be looking this morning, as we have done over the last few weeks, about the gifts of the Spirit. And specifically this morning, we're going to look at the gift of speaking in tongues. And but obviously on Pentecost Sunday, we are remembering the outpouring of the Spirit of God 50 days after Jesus died and was resurrected. And we remember, you know, churches all over the world are remembering and celebrating today the most wonderful, wonderful gift of the person of the Holy Spirit poured out. And not only, I'm always amazed, you know, when I read those scriptures, when it says that Jesus said actually to his closest friend, "It's better that I go so that I can send the Holy Spirit." And I remember that I can just see them all just sort of scratching their head saying, "How on earth is it better that you go and leave us, Jesus? Don't go." But actually, Jesus was looking at a much bigger picture than just their need at that time, wasn't he? So, and I think, you know, this series that we've been doing, and because I think if you're like me, I need to be continually reminded that I need to be led by the Spirit, that I need to be continually reminded that God's got a plan for me to live in a deeper yieldedness, if that's a word, to the Holy Spirit. I need to be continually reminded that my dependency has to be upon him and not on myself. And don't tell anybody, but I'm the pastor. I mean, I need to be reminded of that. And I mean, don't we all need to be reminded of that? That actually the inheritance and the blessing that we've been given is that we can live a life enabled and given the power by the Holy Spirit, and we can live like that every single day. So what I want to look at this morning is specifically, because we've been looking at different gifts, is to look specifically about the gift of speaking in tongues, what it is, why it's important, and the blessing that speaking in tongues is. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 18 says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. And so first of all, I want to say, actually, I'm so grateful for the gifts that God has given to his church. And I'm so grateful as well for that gift of speaking in tongues that he is given. Now, I know that many of you have heard many different messages on this subject, okay? So I want to look at some verses this morning, and we're going to look at some of the kind of benefits and why it's important. Why is it important to us as believers? But I want to say from the outset that speaking in tongues is just one of the gifts that God gives to his church. And that there are no second-class Christians. So you might be saying, well, actually, I have many other gifts, but that's not a gift that I've got. And so I want just to say that, yes, of course you can be a Christian, and of course you can be mightily used of God, but not have the gift of speaking in tongues. But I believe it is something that God does want us to desire and does want to release into our lives. And I don't know about you, but healing, for instance, is something that I've always thought, the Bible says, we'll lay hands upon the sick and they'll recover. And so I'm going to have a go at, not have a go, but I'm going to believe, and I am going to have a go. I'm going to lay my hands on the sick and see them healed. Yes, it's one of the gifts. And I thought, my attitude to something like speaking in tongues is very different to how I was thinking about how I would receive the gift of healing. Or going to pray, thank you, going to pray for people to be healed. And I think God wants us to have an expectancy, actually, that God does want to give us these gifts. And he does want us to operate in them, because they're for our benefit. And they are, speaking in tongues especially is one of the power gifts of the Spirit that he wants to give to his church, to supercharge the church and make us, encouraged in ourselves, but effective in our prayer life and what we set our hearts to do. But I want to say that there are no second class citizens. Are you with me? Yes. If you're a Christian and you love God, then you have the fullness, the complete blessing of the Spirit of God living inside of you. You are a fully paid up member of the kingdom of God. So I want to say that first of all, that as a Christian, you have the fullness of God's Spirit dwelling in you. One of the signs of being filled with the Spirit is speaking in tongues. There are many, many other gifts that God gives to his church, and there are also the fruits of the Spirit, aren't there? Love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All those wonderful aspects of the character of God that we display when we have that anointing and that infilling and that gift of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Yes? And I'm sure as I look around that each and every one of you are displaying all of those to the max. Yes. Yeah, it's to a degree we are, but there are also areas that we can grow in, can't we? And we can desire. 1 Corinthians 14 says, let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities that the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if I have the ability to speak in tongues, you will only be talking to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will be all mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. Probably a different version. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy, and so just be listening to what I'm saying here, strengthens the entire church. I wish you could all speak in tongues, we read that, but even more, I wish that you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you are saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. So Paul says that he wishes that every single one of us would speak in tongues. Because it's, as I said, it's a powerful gift of the Spirit to each believer. But to balance it out, he says, but equally, I wish that you would all prophesy. So we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and next week we're going to be talking about prophecy. And, you know, what an amazing church that God's blueprint is, that there are people speaking in tongues, there's prophecy happening, there's healings happening, there's dynamic moves of the Spirit. I mean, who wouldn't want to be in a community like that? Wow, it's where God is moving. And he said that I desire that that the church and Christians be, that you all speak in tongues, but equally I want you to prophesy, because prophecy is going to speak to those that are the unbelievers as well. Prophecy doesn't need interpretation. So what we want to encourage is a releasing of all of the gifts in the church. And when I say in the church, I mean in you. Because when we say in the church, and I know I sit there and I say, oh, that's lovely for the church. That's fantastic for the church. Oh, yes. But actually, if we break you all down, you are the church. I mean, if we take you out. So I'm talking about you, a releasing of the gifts in you. That you may, and I may speak in tongues. That I may be released in prophecy. That I might bring the whole of the dynamic of what the Spirit wants to do in and through our church. That people would come in and they would have that experience. Wow, yes, truly God is moving amongst them. God is in their midst. Are you alive this morning? Are you still with me? Fantastic. Tongues are important. Prophecy is important. Faith is important. Love. Can you all say love? Oh. Love is so important. You know, what would it be like if we were a prophesying, tongue-speaking, but hate-filled church? There's one quality that God says that in his church is the most important, and that is love. Can't just take one element and blow it out and just say, well, that is the... Actually, God wants the gifts of the Spirit operating and functioning, but in an atmosphere of love. Tongues are important. Prophecy is important. Faith is important. Love is important. All the gifts working together that make the church the environment where God's blessing is released and transformation begins in the life of people. You know, Brian this morning was talking about how God's intention is to transform the world. And haven't our lives been transformed? Well, I don't know about you, but my life has been transformed. Hasn't our lives been transformed? You know, the Bible says, remember where you came from and now what you've become. I mean, I know that some of us here, and I may not even be alive today if it wasn't for God. And intervening in our lives and helping us. And is that true? It's true, isn't it? We are today a product of God's grace, just as Malcolm was saying, of God's love. You might be looking at yourself thinking, actually, I'd really like to be in a different situation, but give thanks for where you are and where God's taking you to. You're a testimony of the grace of God continually upholding you and watching over you and helping you. And sometimes, you know, we don't even recognize the miracles that have happened in our lives. You know, every single moment, God is undertaking for us. Every single day. I mean, it's The fact that my wife loves me every day, that's a miracle. That I was saying this morning, we got up and she said, "No, I'm going to cut your hair." And so actually a few people have said, that they like your hair this morning. So, but what was worrying was she got about halfway through and she was like kind of concentrating, you know, there was a lot of shaving going on. And then she said, about 10 minutes. And she said, I've just woken up now. That's better. I was like, oh my goodness. What? I've got to stand up this morning and speak. What on earth am I going to look like? It's not, so just a word of advice. Don't get your wife to cut your hair when she's not awake. Okay, just, So, the gift of tongues was one of the signs of the outpouring of the Spirit that we see in the first church. And the first church was birthed, wasn't it, out of a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And God's heart and intention is to continually outpour His Spirit upon His church, to enable them. I mean, times were tough for Christians in the early church. They faced lots of opposition. They faced huge obstacles. And guys, stir yourself up. Be encouraged. Root your life in God. Because sometimes we face difficulties and we face problems. And we shouldn't say, oh my goodness, this isn't supposed to happen to me. This is actually the journey and the life of what it is to be a Christian. Because we're in a battle, aren't we? And yes, Jesus has overcome and he's won the victory. But life sometimes throws in our way huge curveballs. But how amazing it is to go through those difficult and tough times with the blessing of God. Do you think God would give and release something on the day of Pentecost? I sound like a real Pentecostal preacher. On the day of Pentecost. I had a great preach. On the day of Pentecost, it wasn't a Baptist church. It wasn't a Methodist church. It was a Pentecostal church. There you go. Anyway, you get that for free. Okay, right. I'm just joking. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, all of them, it says, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each heard their own language being spoken. And it goes down, and at the end it says, and we heard them declaring the wonders of God in our own language. Wow. So they were actually, as the Spirit of God came upon the early church, they began to speak in tongues. In this instance, they were actually speaking known languages. And so that all of the people around could hear in their own languages what they were saying. So if you speak in tongues, you're ever wondering, actually, you know, what am I speaking sometimes? Because sometimes you don't know. You're speaking the wonders of God. And in another part of the Bible, it says that we speak in the tongues of angels. Wow. Angel language. Wow. There's such an amazing dynamic that we have as Christians to be able to have this very special gift, keeping it in balance and keeping it in context with all of the other gifts. People understood what they were saying. So the impartation of the Spirit was an enabling power that God wanted these first disciples to have, listen, so they could be witnesses in a hostile environment. You know, the world is changing that we're living in, isn't it? You know, there's going to be, if you think you need grace and power and faith and encouragement to stand as a Christian now, then I want to encourage you, just get as much from God as you can. Because the world is changing. And increasingly, we're going to be standing up for things that are going to be different in the world. Different priorities, different values. And that's the very intention why God gave and released and sent his Spirit to live in us as Christians, so that we can stand, so that we can not give up, so we can persevere. And I really want that to come across this morning, that God wants us to stand and be rooted in him, and to be strengthened and to be enabled by his empowering Spirit and gifts to us, to the church. It's for a reason and it's for a purpose, because God doesn't want you to give up. Are you listening to me? And he doesn't want you to fail. That's not God's intention for you. God's intention for you is to be a great testimony and to stand and to overcome and to see victory in the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. You were in God's mind. Think about this. He thought about you. He thought about you when he had in his mind that on the day of Pentecost he was going to release and send his Spirit upon this earth. He had you in mind. You're part of his plan, that he wanted to impart his Holy Spirit and his gift to you. I've heard, I don't know if you've heard, I've heard of people, and I think actually it might have even happened to Ali's sister, that she was, and I've heard of people going to nations and countries, and they're given an opportunity to speak, and they don't know how to speak the language. And so actually God gives them a gift of being able to stand up and speak in a language that is not on their own, that and that people can understand. And this happening, you know, in our day and age now. And people come and say, well, I didn't know that you knew my language, or I didn't, I studied this at uni. I think I remember someone saying, I studied this Greek, and I didn't know that you knew that. And the person said, I don't. It was just, I was speaking as God led. And I think Anthea had that, didn't she? And where she was in a meeting, and she actually was speaking by the Spirit, and not knowing what, in one sense, what she was saying, but actually the people in the meeting were understanding what she was saying. She was able to preach and give a message of life and of hope and of Jesus in a language that was not her own. And isn't it amazing that that we can have that gift from God? So as I said, there are no second-class citizens. Everyone, every Christian has the fullness of God. Actually, last night I was going on onto YouTube, and I've got a confession to make. I love watching aeroplane videos on YouTube, and let's not even go there. But there was an interesting article about speaking in tongues. I've never, ever seen a video on speaking in tongues come up when you type in aircraft. So really and truly the Lord was working. Anyway, it was so very interesting, and it was about a doctor who was doing a test. They were doing scans of people's brains, and you know that if you didn't know this, apparently when you speak, the front part of your brain is engaged in speech, apparently. So the doctor was asking it was a pastor actually, can I scan your brain when you speak in English? So he was speaking in English, and the front of his brain, I was going to say lit up inside, they could see the activity. And then they asked him, could you speak in tongues? And so he began to speak in tongues, and the part in his brain that's connected with speech, that the activity in that part of the brain started to reduce. And then they did some tests with Buddhist monks when they were praying, and some other people, and in all the other times where they scanned people, everybody else's brains when they were praying had this activity going, which is connected to conversation and talk. But when the Christian was talking and praying in tongues, and that was the only time that activity decreased. And what they were saying was that that showed that there was a difference between normal praying and speaking in tongues, in regard to it's not so much a thing of the mind, which just really just shows and enforces what we know, not so much of the mind, but of the spirit. So just interesting, I thought, that they've got this guy in the scanner saying, could you speak in tongues? Okay, can you speak in English? Can you speak in tongues? Right, it's very, very, very interesting. Once we receive Jesus, then the promise is that he will remain and be with us. And so we have his spirit inside of us, don't we? As Christians, we do. But when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's a sense of letting the Holy Spirit come and take control over every area of our life. Now, every area of our life comes under his leading, come under his lordship. Now we are going to be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh or by our own feelings. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So, listen to me. It's not that we need more of God, because actually you can't get, in essence, any more of God than you've got right now. You have his fullness. I mean, if you have his fullness, you have his fullness. That's it. You do. You have him. But I'd encourage us as a church, and for us individually, more and more to yield ourselves to him, to submit ourselves to him, to surrender ourselves to him, to open ourselves to him and to the fullness that is within us by his Spirit. Does that make sense? Because you have the fullness, but each of us have different gifts, and we cooperate sometimes with God on some areas and not on others. I'm just trying to encourage you just to say, let's be open and more surrendered and more yielded to God. I'm speaking to myself as well. Okay, quickly then, what is tongues? Tongues isn't gibberish. Tongues is a heavenly language. It's the Spirit praying through us. We're not using our own words, just as we said, but it's words that come from the Spirit. It's a language that God completely understands when we speak to him. It's a pure, as you could say, language. Often we have an idea of a sense when we're praying in tongues of what we're praying. Sometimes we can be praying, and it can be kind of like we're interceding for a situation. Sometimes it may be that we're crying out to God for a miracle in a situation. Sometimes we get a sense that the words that we're speaking are words of worship and love. There's a different aspects to this gift of speaking in tongues. One of the there's some myths about speaking in tongues. One of the myths is that I won't be able to control it in some way. The Spirit of God comes upon me and he takes control, and then I'm overtaken and I won't be able to manage this gift. But the truth is that speaking in tongues is an act of your will. Just as you can control the gift of teaching and you can control the gift of prophecy, so also you can control the gift of tongues. So it's not like you are possessed by the Spirit. Now I'm going to speak in tongues. No, we have an ability to be able to control the gift. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 31 says, for you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and exalt. But the spirit of prophets are subject to the prophets, not a God of confusion, but a God of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So it's like a language. And, you know, when we speak in tongues, it's something that sometimes we start off tentatively, but we become more confident as we grow in that gift, just like learning a normal language. So sometimes we start off tentatively, but, yeah, we grow in confidence as we're released in the gift. Your prayer language comes as you learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. When we pray in tongues, our spirit is praying. When we pray with our minds, we understand what we're praying. But when we pray in tongues, we're praying in cooperation with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 3, verse 10 and 18. Again, speaking in tongues is part of our spiritual armor, spiritual warfare. I don't know if you have that, Ephesians 3, verse 10 and 18. Are you okay this morning? And his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus. Okay, our heavenly language is a pure language. The wonderful thing about praying in tongues is that we're praying in line with God's Holy Spirit, and we don't pray selfish prayers. How awesome is that? I mean, sometimes, you know, when we come to pray and we pray in English, it's so easy sometimes to default into the, and dear Lord, I'm, you know, there's this and there's this problem, there's me arthritis, then there's the boil, and then there's the toothache, and it can, sometimes it can, okay, I'm the only one that, it can, sometimes we can get like that. And so one of the great things about speaking in tongues, that's what we're looking at today, is that it's like a pure language where we are doing and we're hitting the mark with our prayers. You can be sure of that when we are praying in tongues. That's why it's so encouraging. So what does 1 John 5 verse 14 says? And this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to our will, to his will, he hears it. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. Wow. So one of the really wonderful and exciting things about speaking in tongues is that we're praying the will of God, and we know that he hears us, and so we know that in the mystery of what prayer is and speaking in tongues is that actually those prayers are God's hearing and God desires to answer them because we're praying his will. Do you see that? Wonderful thing about having a prayer language as well is that, and the, you know, the Bible says about pray without ceasing. And so I encourage you, you know, I was talking to a pastor friend and he was saying, yeah, he was saying, I can pray in tongues and I can be doing something else at the same time because it's not a thing of the mind, it's a thing of the spirit. Now, you know, go ahead. I mean, I tried it and I was shook at the bubble. And I had to keep stopping and kind of thinking about what I was doing. And I mean, you know, it's, but obviously it's, there's a gifting and enabling and a freeing that we can, and I don't mean when you say pray in tongues all the time, but you don't need to, you can pray quietly in tongues or in the spirit all day. Make it part of what you do. And I don't mean out loud so that all of your workmates think that you are you're crazy. I'm just say in your mind, in your heart, be praying, be connecting with God. And the Bible says, doesn't it, that when we pray in tongues, we encourage and edify ourselves. So I want to say, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling in need of encouragement, if you feel I'm the worst, whatever it is, get into praying in the spirit, praying in tongues. It's one of the ways that you can encourage and build yourself up in the spirit. Yes? I mean, sometimes we say, I'm feeling so depressed. I've got this problem. It's like we've been given the solution. to the issues that we face. Let's use it. Okay, just to draw things to a close. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 said, "He who speaks a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." And God wants for us as his church to understand the mysteries, speak mysteries of who he is, for the Holy Spirit to reveal his wonder and his character to us. And, you know, the great thing is that the Spirit knows everything about God. And so the Holy Spirit speaking through us, we're going to be declaring the wonders, and he wants to reveal the mysteries to you about himself, about his will for your life and the circumstances that you're facing. Isn't it good that God doesn't want to hide things from us? He wants us to know about him, and he wants to give us direction and vision for our lives. Sometimes praying in tongues opens other gifts. So as we're praying in tongues, sometimes we'll get a word of knowledge for somebody. Or as we're praying in tongues, sometimes we'll get something for somebody else. And so I'm just saying, sometimes when we're praying in tongues, it's not just that gift in itself, but it does open up other and releases other gifts of the Spirit. Maybe you're going to get a word of wisdom from somebody. Maybe you're going to get a word of knowledge. Maybe you're going to have a discerning of spirits as you're speaking in tongues. Thirdly, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 20 says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but speaks to God." Guys, can you all look at me? And please smile. You have a direct bat line. You know, did you ever watch, I used to watch Batman and Robin, and, you know, it was like the red phone on the chief's desk, wasn't it? You know, just pick up and it's like direct line. Not direct line insurance, but direct line. We have a direct line to the supreme ruler of the universe. And each and every one of us as Christians have that, don't we? To be able to pray. And actually, praying in the Spirit doesn't always just mean tongues. Yes, of course you can pray in the Spirit in English or in another language. But we're looking specifically at speaking in tongues. But we have a direct line to God. And lastly, and I kind of touched on this before, just praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, keeps our prayers on course. You know, sometimes when you're in a difficulty, when in the middle of a battle, when things are hard, and I know that there are people here facing difficulties and hard situations, sometimes when we're in those situations, the situation can veer us to go down a particular track. And speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit, keeps us focused upon God, not letting the situation become the focus of our prayers in one sense, but letting God continually be at the center. Does that make sense of our prayers? And also the Bible says, you know, that sometimes we don't even know how to pray. Have you ever been in that situation? Sometimes the situation is so good, we don't know what to pray. Sometimes the situation is so bad and terrible and dire that we don't know what to pray. Yet the Bible says that he will pray through us with groans and tears. Isn't it amazing that God can interpret our groans and our tears, and even those can be prayers to God? And that's the reality of life, isn't it? That sometimes things are just, or we're presented with something that just says, "I just do not know where to go. I just do not know what the answer. I just do not know how to even begin to address this problem." And God has given us the gift speaking in tongues to enable us to be able to pray and respond to God in those situations. Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up now. Speaking in tongues is an amazing gift to the church. It's a supernatural gift to every believer. And as I said, what's your attitude to receiving gifts and operating in them? Because we've been talking about gifts in the church over these last few weeks. And the point is that we as a church get more and more released, encouraged, drawn into seeing those released in our lives. And so I want us just to pray just as we finish. And I just want to ask, let's all bow our heads. I just want to ask this morning, ask each of us personally, is there a gift? It may be speaking in tongues, but it may be another gift. Is there a gift? Is there something that you are really feeling from God that he wants to release into your life? Because God does want to pour out his gifts upon us. Why don't you, in your heart this morning, ask God for that particular area or that gift or that need that you have? Why don't you just ask him right now where you are to do a deeper work of yielding your life, your heart, a particular area to God? After the service, we're going to have a time where we can pray for people that want to be released in a particular gift or want prayer or want ministry. And if God is stirring your heart today, then please come and let us lay hands upon you and let's encourage you and release what God wants to do in your life. Just as we finish, I just want us to pray. Because I don't know if there's anybody here. And you say, actually, I don't really know if I have Jesus as my Savior. And actually, I don't know if I was to die right now, if I would go to be with God in heaven. And I want just to take a few moments before we finish to lead anybody who you say, actually, I'm really not sure where I stand with God. Are my sins forgiven? Do I have peace with God? And if that's you this morning, then I just want to give you an opportunity to commit your heart and your life to God so that you can have an assurance and you know that God has accepted you, that you're his child. So let's just everybody close our eyes. I don't know if you're here this morning and you want to pray this prayer, then this is between you and God and asking God to come into your life today. And you know, the Bible says that if we ask him to come in, he will come in to our lives. He will forgive us.
Just wanted to share something before we pray for people. When I was younger, I really felt God gave me the gift of speaking in tongues. And then I had a time when I wasn't really walking very closely with God. And I felt that I'd lost it and I could never get it back. And I just wondered if there was anybody like that, that maybe haven't been using the gift as much as they should be, and you know, God really wants you to be released in that. And if maybe you've not been speaking in tongues for a long time, maybe you did before, and now you really want that again. I'd love to pray for you, and I'm sure there'll be other people that can be pray for you. So when I was a kind of teenager, I said, Lord, I do remember I used to speak in tongues when I was younger, and I really want this, and I really want more of you. And God really blessed me with that. And I love speaking in tongues. It's such a valuable gift. So if you want more tongues or a release in tongues or like you haven't ever spoken in tongues or before, it would be lovely to pray for you. Really, you know, God wants this for you. And, you know, you have to grab it and take hold of it and say, yes, I'm going to have that gift. Yes, please.
Matthew 11, Jesus teaching on prayer. He says this, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I just want to encourage you, just as Steve and Ali have said, just in responding this morning, that it requires boldness and it requires this understanding that the Father desires to give good gifts. The gift of his Spirit is a good gift that he wants to release this morning. So please, I want to encourage you to respond and take that step forward this morning.
So Ali will be here, Danny will be here, others will be around to pray. I just want to pray for, if you've not committed your heart to God, let's just pray together. You can pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love for me that took you to the cross. I thank you that you know everything about me, all of my sin and my past, my failures and in the areas that I fall short. But I thank you, you don't condemn me. You offer me forgiveness and new life. And this morning I want to reach out to take hold of that life, and I want to receive it. And as I confess my sins to you, in faith, I receive that pardon and that forgiveness. I turn away from the things that I've done wrong. I repent of those things. And I ask that you would come and fill me with your Holy Spirit to give me the power to live this life all of the days of my life. Thank you that you've heard my prayer, you see my heart, and that you've accepted me as your child. And I thank you that today my future has been changed as you have accepted me. I thank you I now belong to you. And I thank you that I'm now a Christian because you've accepted me into your family. In Jesus' name, amen.